Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's always great to hear young talent
Amen. Singing
in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Did everybody get a copy that wanted one of the sermon notes? If not, we've got some more up here. We tried to pass them out to most everybody as we saw you coming in, but we do have more if you need one, so just let us know. Guys, I'm finishing up a series I started several weeks ago entitled "The Promises from God." And I thought there'd be no better way to end this than to end it by talking about the promise of our salvation and eternal life. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. When it comes time for the Lamb's Book of Life to be open, there's not going to be any confusion or uncertainty. No wrong names will be called. There's not going to be any wrong names called, guys. Your name, if it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is there. You are signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, there's no going back on that. Isn't it great to know that once you truly accept Jesus as your Savior, that is a done deal. That's a done deal. We're going to talk this morning about some interesting things because I think there are four things that people fall into, four groups that people fall into. And we're going to look at each one of these one by one here in reference to salvation because, let's face it, we're all in one of these four groups. I hope and pray that you're going to be in the group that knows you're saved and, hey, you're headed to heaven one day and everything is good right now. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you this to start with. First of all, and I've heard many preachers say this and I've said it myself and I'm going to continue to say it. There is nothing that you have done that God will not forgive you for. There's nothing. Jesus loves you. Tanner and Ansley just summed it up perfectly for this sermon today. Jesus loves me, this I know. How much does He love you? He died on the cross for you.
Amen.
He's willing to forgive you of anything you've done. And when you've accepted His forgiveness and you've called on His name, guess what? That has covered you for your past, your present, and your future. Now, you can't find any kind of arrangement like that anywhere else where once you accept Jesus as your Savior, it's done. Now, there's a lot of work ahead because we don't want to just be what I call stagnant believers where we just kind of sit down and say, okay, I'm saved. Woo, I'm waiting to get to heaven now. Amen. God wants us to be productive in His kingdom. But guys, we have the satisfaction of knowing when we truly are saved, we are going to heaven and we will be reunited with all our other brothers and sisters that have gone on before us who know Jesus as their Savior. That's a great promise, isn't it?
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Guys, I hope we're awake today because we're going to end this thing on a good note today. Those who know Jesus can be certain they are saved. I'm telling you that and I'm going to continue to reinforce that. The way I see it, there are four possibilities related to our sermon today. Everybody in this room fits in one of these four categories. I want you to listen carefully to these. The first one is this, to be lost and know that you are lost. The second one is to be lost and think you are saved. The third one is to be saved and know it for sure. And the fourth one is to be saved and know that you are secure. Amen. Amen. Isn't it great to know that, hey, no matter what happens to me, if I walk out this door and I don't make it back in this door tonight, I am saved. My salvation is signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm going to be in heaven one day. That's a great thing to know, isn't it?
Amen.
You won't find a life insurance policy that'll pay you off like that anywhere. Jesus paid it all. I want you to understand that. But more importantly, I want you to understand the love that Jesus has for us. You know, sometimes people will just come down hard on you about salvation. Let me tell you something about my view on salvation. I've come to know this over the years. I don't believe in pushing somebody in the corner to make them walk that aisle and accept Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's been my experience that 9 out of 10 times when you do that, it's not going to be for real in their life. It's not going to be a real, true experience they're having with Jesus. So here's the way I like to approach that. I'm going to tell you about salvation. I'm going to tell you the great things that Jesus has done for you, but it's got to come in your heart. It's got to be you who gets up and walks down that aisle or prays in the confines of your home or wherever it is you accept Jesus. Because let me just tell you something, guys. Let me tell you something. Okay? I had to throw that in there. Any Fire Marshal Bill fans from way back in the day? Let me tell you something. Okay. Guys, let me just tell you this. You don't have to accept Jesus in the church. Do you know that? Does everybody understand that? I think some people are of the mindset that I can only get saved if I'm in the church. I can't tell you how many people I've come in contact with that told me they got saved in their house, they got saved at work. I've helped lead some people to the Lord at our kitchen table at the house. I mean, the church is where you need to end up. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the end-all be-all of where you have to be to get saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for all who call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. It doesn't say, for all who call upon the name of the Lord in the church house shall be saved. It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter where you are when that happens. The important thing is that it happens before you take your last breath. Amen. See, that's got to happen before you leave this earth. It's got to happen. So let's talk about these groups one at a time for just a minute. Let's talk about that first one there. To be lost and know that you're lost. Guys, some people are lost and know it. Let's be honest. Some people are lost and they know it. I'm sure you've come in contact with people over the years that'll tell you up front, right off the bat, they don't know Jesus and they don't want to know Him. I've had people tell me, I'm not into that church stuff. I'm not into reading the Bible. I'm not all about Jesus and all this, that, and the other. And you know what I tell them? I say, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty. Because I would rather you tell me up front. And what did Jesus say about the church at Laodicea? He said, I would rather you be hot or cold. In other words, I would rather you be honest with me about whether you really love me or not. Don't just act like you do and be lukewarm. Because that's what a lot of people are doing in this day and age, right? They're being lukewarm. They really don't want to know Jesus, but they act like they do sometimes. So there's going to be a group of people that just do not know Jesus. They're lost and they know it. Now, they may not understand what lost means, but they know that they don't have anything to do with Jesus. And guys, I'm going to tell you what. I believe we as a church and we as a people of believers are dropping the ball in a lot of cases on these people. We are called to spread the gospel. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We are called to spread the gospel. We are called to help these people find that understanding about salvation. Now, if somebody comes up to you and you're trying to witness to them and you say, hey, you know what? I just am not into that. I don't want to listen to that right now. Should that be the end of your conversation forever? Oh, well, Lord, I tried to talk to them, but they won't listen. Guys, I'm telling you, it may take many times of you talking, and it may take many circumstances of the Holy Spirit of God convicting them on a particular situation and in a particular situation before their heart will be receptive to the Word. So, guys, don't give up. Parents, don't give up on that lost child. Friends, don't give up on your lost friends. Brothers and sisters, don't give up on your lost siblings. Keep praying for them. Keep believing that the Holy Spirit of God will bring a situation into their life where they can get saved before it's too late. But see, some people are lost. They'll just tell you up front. These are the kind of people that think that God's Word is just a bunch of lies. You know anybody that just thinks God's Word is a bunch of lies, just a bunch of made up stuff? Oh, this is a big storybook about some character named Jesus who ran around healing people and raising them from the dead. This is a fairy tale. There are people out there that will tell you that. They'll tell you that's what God's Word is. They think it's just this made up storybook about a man named Jesus. Guys, the people that fit this category do not want to let go of the world. They don't want to let go of the world. You know, the Bible tells us we should be in this world but not of this world, which means simply this. We have to exist in this world while we're alive, don't we? There's no other world we can go to. We are on earth from the time we're born until the time we die. Now, if there's any other planets out there that support life, I'm not aware of them. But they would be under the same curse as we are, because until we die and until we receive our new resurrected body and end up in heaven one day, we're surrounded by sin. We're on this earth for the rest of our life. No matter how good or bad that may be, that's the truth. So you see, we can't change that. We cannot change where we are and what we're going to have to do. You know, until this group of people has an experience with Jesus, they're going to continue to travel down the wide path that leads to destruction. Remember in the book of Matthew, it talks about narrow is the path that leads to salvation if you find it, but broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Guys, all you got to do is look around us. You can tell this world is traveling down that broad path that leads to destruction. But those few that have found the narrow path and that are staying on the narrow path, we are the only hope that some of these people have of coming to know Jesus before it's too late. What are we doing about that? I love to hear about Bible studies and people coming to know the Lord at Bible studies. You see, it doesn't all happen here in the church. It doesn't all happen here in the church. One of the greatest outreaches we've ever been a part of, Vicki and I, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, we don't meet in a church. We meet at our house. We've come to lead a lot of kids to know the Lord through the confines of our home, through the confines of someone else's home. So you see, the point is, lead them. Don't assume that one day they're going to get saved. Because I'm going to tell you this, we're called to serve. We're called to serve the Master. We're called to spread the gospel. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We're called to share the gospel. Yes. It's up to us. Jesus brings about the salvation, but we bring the word. Yeah. That's what it's about. But some people got that wrong. They think they're going to hear this voice from God saying, hey, walk down that aisle. Now, God will speak to your heart and he'll get you up out of that seat a lot of times. But why are you getting up? Most likely because it's something you heard someone else talk to you about. That's why. Let's look at the second group right here. Some people are lost and think they're saved. Boy, there's a big group here. There's a lot of people that are going to fit into this group. I preached a whole series out of the book of 1 John about a year or so ago, somewhere along in there. And I'm not going to go back and rehash all of that, but let me say something about this group of people. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people, including pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, along with everyday ordinary people that fall into this group. You may say, well, preacher, how do you get to be a preacher and you're not saved? Very simple. Somebody voted you in and didn't bother to really find out who you were. That's how it happens. Guys, we got a lot of false prophets out there right now that are appearing to be godly, but they're really denying the power from Almighty God by the messages they're bringing and by what they stand for. So you see, this is a group of people that are in very, very serious danger here. Because we got a lot of people that think right now they're saved, but they're not. And you say, well, how do I know that? Let me give you a quick checklist right here. And you just ask yourself these questions while I'm going over this. And guys, I'm saying this not to beat you up. I'm saying this to help move you in the right direction, okay? Let me ask you this question. When you do something wrong, do you come under conviction? When you lie to someone about something, do you feel so uncomfortable about it that you just can't wait until you can tell them, you know what, I wasn't telling you the truth? Can you look at things you're not supposed to look at and not feel the least bit bad about it? Can you use language that's unbecoming of godly people and not think anything of it? You see, guys, we're going to make mistakes. Now, don't get me wrong, because I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm not saved then. I said a cuss word yesterday. Guess what? I've slipped up a few times myself. Amen? You don't have to amen to that, okay, guys? All right? Okay. That's one time I don't need an amen, okay? All right. Hey, we're not perfect. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. When I do something wrong, I come under conviction. When I know I've wronged somebody, I come under conviction. When I know I have not done something that God was leading me to do, I come under conviction. If you come under that conviction when things are not as they should be, then you're saved. If you've confessed Jesus as your Savior and asked for forgiveness, you're saved. If, on the other hand, you don't really come under that conviction and it doesn't bother you to continue to live a life of deliberate sin, then I would have to question that. I'm not here to judge. Let me just tell you that right now. I'm not going to say, you're not saved. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm inspecting fruit around here and I just don't see some people as fruitful as others. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a brother or sister. In fact, guys, do y'all realize this is biblical? When we see a brother or sister who is slipping up in their walk, if indeed they really have that walk, it is our responsibility to, in a sense of humbleness and meekness and love, go to them and say, this is not right. This is not becoming of a brother or sister in Christ. Why are you doing this? Why aren't you believing in Jesus? And we're supposed to do that. But here's what we do. Oh boy, did you see what so-and-so did? I thought they were saved. And here you are on your holier-than-thou throne walking around criticizing them when you should be the one going and talking to them. You should be the one coming in humility to them and saying, you know what? Man, can I talk to you about something? Hey, and listen, let me tell you how to start that conversation off. I want to just tell you this. I love you in the name of Jesus. I love you with a godly love. And it's because of that that I want to talk to you about something. Can I talk to you about something? And most likely they're going to say, sure, what do you want to talk about? Then you talk to them about what it is that God's laid on your heart. But you see, we got a lot of people that if they die right now, they're thinking they're saved, but they are not. Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. Here's another thing on your checklist. Some people have a bucket list. Everybody know what a bucket list is, right? The things you want to do before you die. Okay? I still hopefully got a few more check marks left to go on mine. Amen. But guys, for some people, that's one of their bucket list items. I want to walk down that aisle. I want to hold the preacher's hand, shake the preacher's hand, pray a little prayer, and I want to get to heaven. All the while, the Holy Spirit of God never convicted them to walk that aisle. Never said, get up. I am leading you into the best thing that will ever happen to you. They did it. Their friends were doing it. Hey, I'm going to do this too. This looks like fun. Woo, I get to jump in that pool and get drowned. You know, they do that. But they didn't feel it. Guys, we got a lot of people like that. And let me tell you this. It's okay to realize 10, 15 years down the road, I didn't do this the right way. I need to do it the right way. And that's what I want to get through to people with. Don't accept the fact that you think you're saved when in reality all the signs are pointing in the opposite direction. It's so simple to correct now by letting the Holy Spirit of God convict your heart and let you come and do it for the right reasons. Guys, this group did not have a true life-changing experience with the Master. 2 Corinthians 5:17 sums it up. Everybody knows this scripture. Let me paraphrase it for you. It tells us that in Christ we are a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, what does that mean to you? In Christ we're a new creature. Some translations say a new creation. In other words, it's like God said, okay, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, I have wiped your slate completely clean and you are starting over as a new part of my creation. Amen. I'm giving you a clean slate. Amen. I don't care what you did. I don't care how bad you were. I am going to start you back over. The old is gone. The new has come. Now, there's nowhere in God's Word where it says the new's going to immediately just fill you so full that you never do another thing wrong the rest of your life. But see, some people, I think that that's the way it's supposed to be. No. A new believer is going to continue to do some things they shouldn't do. That's where our job comes in. We help disciple them. We help them understand, hey guys, it's okay to mess up a little along the way. Jesus loves you anyway. Jesus has already forgiven you for what you did the other day. He's forgiven you for what you're going to do 2 years from now. Does that not freak you out? God already knows you're going to commit some sins 2 years from now if you're still alive here. And He's already covered those. Amen. If you're a child of God. Amen. He's already covered them. Can I get a witness? Amen. He's already covered those. That is pretty amazing. But now that's not a ticket to go on and sin and just say, oh, well, God's already forgiven me for that. Woo-hoo, let's have some fun this weekend. You got the wrong idea here. We need to talk about that a little bit more. But guys, you see, when you truly have had a relationship with Jesus, it's going to show. I'm going to see it in you, especially if I knew you before you got saved. You know those people you come around in contact with every day, you're around them at work, and you're just like, I believe they really do know Jesus. It might be somebody you don't even know. You just look at how they act. They act differently. They have a good personality. They're kind. They're good. They're not running around talking about everybody. They're not using bad language. You see them and you say, you know what? I really believe they're a believer. And when you get to talking to them and you ask them, hey, do you go to church? Yeah, man, I'm faithful in my church. Just blah, blah, blah. They start telling you about it. You already knew it. Why? Because their life showed it. Guys, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus, your life should be showing it. Each and every day. Guys, for someone to continue to live in sin, I'm talking about deliberate sin now. Don't confuse this. We're going to sin from time to time. I'm talking about living deliberately a life of sin day after day and not feeling any kind of conviction. For someone to continue to live in sin and not begin a new transformation once they've been saved, one would have to question whether or not they truly had an experience with Jesus. I'm not saying as a judge, you didn't get saved. I don't know that. I'm just looking at how you act from the outside. Okay? And you know what the Bible says? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you're acting that way on the outside, most likely your heart's that way on the inside. Because you can't really separate the two. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus, your heart should be full of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You can't take that out. You can't get rid of that. You can't wake up one day and say, God, come out. Ooh. Rib spreader. I'm going to take my heart out now. You can't do it. Okay? I'd throw another one in there, sorry. You can't do that. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. I've encountered countless numbers of people who claim to be born again. But guys, there's just no evidence in their life. By the way they live. I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to say, hey man, you're fooling yourself. But I am going to talk to them. I am going to say, hey man, why do you feel like you need to keep doing that? I thought you were saved. I thought you were a believer. And that's when we need to talk to them and we need to help them along the way, guys. The third thing is this. The third group is this. Some people are saved, but they don't really know it for sure. Oh boy. Let me tell you about this group right here. How many of you have ever felt at some point in time in your life the devil convicted you and made you feel like you weren't saved? You're not saved. What are you talking? I felt that way. I feel that way sometimes now, even as a pastor. The devil's trying to tell me, why are you up there telling these people all that? You don't really even know who Jesus is. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I really do. So I don't let him get a foothold here. But guys, let me tell you something. Some people just feel like that if they do the least little thing wrong, they need to come back down the aisle and ask God to save them again. Listen, let me say this loud and clear. Everybody listening? Yes, sir. Once saved, always saved. Amen?
Amen?
I'm talking about when you truly get saved, you're always saved. You don't just wake up one day and become unsaved because, oops, I said a bad word. Oops. I looked at something I shouldn't have. Oops. I talked bad about somebody. I'm not saved. I can't wait till Sunday where I can walk back down, shake the preacher's hand again, and get baptized for the 15th time. Whew. Guys, it's not that way. It's not that way. But see, there's some people that are so insecure in their walk. I've counseled with countless numbers of young people especially. I will have just baptized them, and here comes another revival, and they're coming back down the aisle again, saying they're professing Jesus as their Savior for the first time. I'm like, what's going on? So I talked to them about it. I'm like, do you not think you really got saved the first time? Yeah, I did, but I did something really bad, and I just felt like God didn't love me anymore. And guys, this is where we, once again, as the church, are falling down. We got to make people understand that all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
We've all done things that are wrong. Just because you do something wrong, you don't lose your salvation. You need to ask God to forgive you and repent of it and turn away from it. But it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're no longer saved. Now, there's some religions that believe you can lose your salvation. But I'm not one of them. Amen?
Amen?
I believe God's word when it comes to that. Guys, these are the people that every time an invitation is offered at a revival, they walk down the aisle, accept Jesus because they're not sure they really know him. Look at what John chapter 5, verse 24 tells us. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. In other words, when you've really accepted me as your Savior, you're not going to be condemned anymore for anything. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful for that verse right there. I'm thankful for that verse. Now let's look at the fourth and final group. This is the group I hope most of you all are fitting in right now. Some people are saved and they know they are secure. Some people are so secure in their salvation that they can with boldness tell you, if I die right now, I'm going to wake up in glory. I'm going to wake up in heaven. I don't care what happens to me the rest of my life. Jesus has saved me from my sins, and I know that. If you know that in your heart today, say amen and mean it.
Amen.
Amen. You know beyond a doubt Jesus has saved you from your sin. You've got that promise of eternal life. Your salvation is secure. These are brothers and sisters in Christ who know they're the real deal, brother. How many of you know people that are the real deal? Raise your hand. Man, there's no doubting them. There's no question about them. There's no gray area about them. Man, they love the Lord. That's not saying they don't mess up every now and then along the way, but they love the Lord and they know where their heart is. Amen.
Amen.
And their heart's going to continue to move in the direction God wants them to move. There's no doubt in their minds they're saved. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 tells us this. Let me back up a second. These are the people who are talking the talk, walking the walk with confidence each and every day. With confidence. I'm confident in who I am in Christ. If you don't want to hang around me because I love Jesus, I'm going to love you anyway. That's okay. If I have to sit over there by myself while everybody else is over here talking about me being some Jesus freak, okay, praise God, amen. I don't care about that. I'm not going to succumb to the world just to please people in the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to set myself apart. Why? Because Jesus has said we should. We should be in this world, not of this world. We should set ourselves apart and rise above this world. Now, that doesn't mean to be conceited and all prideful with your chest all puffed out and poked out, strutting around like you got a new rooster suit or something like that. Amen. You know, strutting around like that. No, what this is talking about is be humble, but love Jesus and don't be ashamed of it. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. John 10, 27 and 30 tells us that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Guys, if you've ever worked with animals for any amount of time, those animals know your voice. You say, hey, come here. Whatever their name is, if you've named them, hey, they come running right up to you. Sheep especially really get to know the shepherd's voice. That's why Jesus referred to this here. Then it goes on to say, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Once you're in the hand of God, once you've sealed your salvation, no one's taking you out of God's hands. You're there forever. But guys, you got to get there first. You got to get there first. Just like the Allstate ad, you're in good hands with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's not going to let go of you. God's promised in Hebrews 13:5 to never leave us nor forsake us. Some friends will do that. Some spouses will do that. Some siblings will do that. But God will never do that. He won't do that. He's not going to do that. This group of people is constantly trying to better their walk with the Lord. What can I do to increase my walk? What can I do to do more for you, God? They know that their eternal destiny is secure because John chapter 5, verse 24 tells them that whoever hears the word of the Lord and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Guys, I say all that to say this in closing today. First of all, Jesus loves you, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's John 3:16, probably the most quoted scripture in all the Bible. What does that tell me? That tells me that Jesus loved me enough to lug that cross up that hill of Calvary, to be nailed to it, to die on it, to be put in a grave that death could not hold, by the way. And on the third day to rise, he's seated in heaven now. He's prepared a place for me. I can't even begin to imagine. Why? Because he loves me.
Amen.
And guess what? He loves the worst sinner. He loves the worst person in ISIS just like he loves me. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Jesus' love for us is unconditional. He doesn't say, well, I'll love you if, I'll do this for you if. No, he does it for us because he loves us. And that's the way we all ought to be. That's the way we all should be, amen? That's the way it should be. I want to just tell you today, if you don't know Jesus, guys, think about what I tell you. We're in one of those four groups. Let me read those to you one more time as I close. Here they are right here. Here's the four possibilities that you're in here today. To be lost and know that you're lost. You've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. You have never professed Jesus as your Savior. That's one group. The second group is to be lost and think you're saved. It's okay to admit you didn't do it for the right reasons. Let's do it for the right reasons now. Guys, next Sunday we're going to have a baptismal service Sunday evening before family night. We've got one young lady who started coming to our church now. She got saved and was going to a church somewhere else, but she never got baptized. She wants to come and she wants to get baptized here and become a member at this church.
Amen.
One of our youth. So I would love to have 4, 5, 6 more people come and participate in that next week. You do what the Lord's leading you to do. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to twist your arm. And if anyone did that before, then shame on them. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit of God twist your arm. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit of God work on your heart. I'm not going to sit here and beat you into submission. Guys, all you got to do is very simple. You got to believe on the name of Jesus. One of the thieves hanging on the cross beside Jesus acknowledged that he was the Son of God. And you know what Jesus told him as they were about to take their last breath? Today, you will be with me in paradise. He got saved just that easy. Just believing in Jesus and who he was.
Amen.
Jesus didn't pray some elaborate prayer with him. You believe on the name of Jesus, confess your sin, ask him to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you, and tell him you want to walk with him the rest of your life, and it's a done deal.
Yeah.
Man, that's so simple. Why don't people do that? You know, hey, people that are atheists that run around saying, oh, this is all wrong. Well, you know what? If you're right and there is no God, although I know there is, and I say there is a God, and I've lived my life for him my whole entire adult life, even into my childhood when I got saved from then on, and I die, and that's just it. Well, what have I done? I believe in the God and serve him with all my heart and soul.
Amen.
But if I'm right, you're wrong. When you die, you better have some air conditioning, brother. Amen? Because it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. So, guys, I just don't understand why more people don't want to have that security, to know, hey, when I die, I'm going to cross over into glory. I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. I'm going to see him as he is for the first time ever. Amen. Woo, wouldn't it be great to lay eyes on Jesus? We see these little pictures of him, which, by the way, probably are not even closely representative of what he really looked like. But we have him as this dark figure with this long black hair and those shining eyes. I'm sure his eyes are going to shine. I don't know exactly what he looks like. But guess what? One day I'm going to see him for who he is.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to praise God that he allowed me to have the opportunity to do that. Guys, I want you to search your heart and soul today. Maybe you just need to come up here today and pray for somebody who needs Jesus. There's power in prayer. There's power in intercessory prayer. That means you pray on behalf of someone else that God will work in their life. And guess what? He's probably going to work you into their life. So be willing to come and do that. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to stand out front. We'll talk about it. But guys, let me tell you something. We only have left to make this decision the amount of time that God chooses to allow us to stay on this earth. I don't know how long that's going to be for me or you or anybody else. I mean, look around us. We hear of tragedy that happens in our community almost weekly. Certainly around the state and the nation weekly, daily, hourly sometimes. Guys, make that decision. I'm not forcing you. I'm not twisting your arm. I'm not beating you into submission. I'm just telling you, search your heart. Jesus is waiting on you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your promise of eternal life and salvation if we only call on your name. Lord, I pray that this message was brought in a way that was pleasing to you. And God, I pray that some hearts and minds have been challenged today. And Father God, I just give you the praise, Lord. I just thank you for using an old country preacher like me to bring your word. Lord, it's an awesome responsibility, and I don't take it lightly. I thank you for that opportunity, and I just pray that, God, you will continue to work in our church here, and that we'll continue to be a lighthouse for this community, that we'll continue to grow and move in the direction you would have us go. And now, Lord, I pray if their hearts and minds that have been challenged, they may need to come up here and pray at this altar. Get some things right. Maybe pray for somebody else that needs to know you, Lord. Whatever the case may be, I pray that you'll challenge our hearts and minds today, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Hymn number 530.
Let's stand and sing. Hymn number 530. The altar's open. You feel free to come and do as God's leading you to do.